I'm your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to Alchemy, the podcast all about building a business on the front lines of the new economy. Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. So pumped, so excited. I've got a great friend, great partner on the show, Cody Shandraw. He's the managing partner of Ambria Capital and Phyto Partners. Cody, what's up, man?
Oh, buddy, I'm super excited for this. It's way overdue.
You've been counting down. We've been trying to get this scheduled, but you and I have both been, you know, on the road and missing each other. So I'm glad that we finally were able to lock this in, and exciting times for both of us, and a lot of news for you right now. Just give a quick update on Cody. You know, he's been in the venture world for some time now. You know, Cody, you've been an entrepreneur from a very young age. We've been part of a lot of deals together in the cannabis world and in the psychedelic space. But, you know, before we get started, Cody, why don't you give us a quick update? Because the news just hit, recent funding of Healing Maps. So talk to us a little bit about that and your involvement. I know you're very involved in that business.
Yeah, so recently took over as chairman. Both the funds ended up investing inside. You know, I have to tell you, man, obviously, as you know, I'm always looking for kind of the next big thing. That's one of, I would say, my specialties over the last couple of years. We're early to crypto, we're early to cannabis, and I think we're extremely early to, I like to stay away from the word psychedelics just because I think of the stigma associated, but I just kind of overall health and wellness that you and I have always talking about, right? Larry always likes to talk about the brain health mega trend.
Yeah.
And I think that falls perfectly into this. So Healing Maps was originally started, we invested in Weed Maps, watched that company grow to, unbelievable success. I think the IPO was right around $1.5 billion, and being involved in this emerging, how often do you get to be a part of these brand new industries, right? I've been very lucky, obviously, at a young age to be a part of the crypto space. I got to watch that whole thing unfold. We did very well there. Got to be very early inside of the cannabis space. I, also did very well there, luckily, knock on wood. And now the psychedelic space. So one of the really interesting aspects of, these new modalities of treatments is there was nowhere to go. I can't tell you how many, parties, events, conferences. Mm-hmm. There are so many curious people, right? I mean, it seems to dominate a lot of the conversations now. They don't know where to go, mm-hmm. don't know where to look. And that was kind of the idea behind Healing Maps. Last year at the Wonderland conference, the team came up to me and told me this little idea that they had about a search engine for these new treatments. And I was like, yeah, listen, I think you're a little bit early. And then sat down with the team like 2, maybe 3 weeks later, and I was sold, man. Listen, you and I both know, right? The user interface is the most important part of any search engine. Whether it's Google, whether it's Yelp, there's a reason why the big players become big players, because it's easy to use. Mm-hmm. And that is what this was immediately from inception. So I knew right away that it was a future. And, here we are, man, 6.5, 7 months later since we've seen the company, made the investment. Over 1 million different people have come onto that website since then.
That's amazing.
We have over 1,000 clinics, retreats, biggest names in the world, especially in the United States. And, one of the beautiful things, this company's never paid for a single ad.
That's great.
Yeah, man. How often do you see traffic? Listen, you and I have both been around the block enough to know advertising's everything and driving traffic to businesses.
Yeah.
So I know that now that this money is in this account and I can start sitting down and developing some strategic relationships, I can only imagine what this is going to look like.
Well, I think it's amazing too, because, with, on the Healing Maps front, it's kind of like right place, right time. I think more and more people in this country are really seeking wellness treatment and trying to find, things that, essentially can help them, whether it's anxiety or it's depression, I mean, even I've just noticed there's a very big influx of ads on Instagram that are like targeting for, I get them all the time. It's like, you know, for ketamine treatments and stuff. I'm like, whoa, I've never seen that before. And so, you know, that there's definitely a groundswell happening right now where people are starting to utilize, you know, different therapies to, you know, that are some natural, some not natural, but, you know, to find places that can help them. Right. So I think this Healing Maps is a great way to do that, because it is hard to find, right? People are like, who, I need to talk to someone. How do I find out? So it's just a very, you know, simple methodology. And I even remember back in the day when Weed Maps first launched, I was just like, how is that legal? You know, because it was such a long time ago. I was like, dude, why are they going to get busted? You know what I mean? So it's just interesting what a decade, you know, does from an idea and a concept, and that brings it to life and it becomes mainstream, right? Curious from you, Cody, like what was it that made you kind of move into a lot of the cannabis related investments in the early days? Like what was the indicator?
So there were a couple different things. You know, full transparency, I mean, since I was in my late teens, man, I've been exposed to cannabis pretty much my entire life, but started using it probably 17, 18 years old. And, you know, I always was amazed at just the amount of money that cannabis was generating in a 100% black market. I mean, it didn't make sense to me that, you know, alcohol is one of the most toxic things in the entire world, but that was legal. And, you know, you're seeing people locked up for plants. It was just, it didn't make sense to me, man. I think at the time, you know, I one of my very good friends, I won't name, but ended up getting in a little bit of trouble, you know, for driving and having cannabis in his car. And I was just blown away. And I knew that there was going to be changed, and I moved out to California, and I seen how just their medical market, how different, you know, the way that police treated it, the way that people viewed it. And I, you know, most things start in California culture wise, right, and end up moving east. It's just the natural progression of things. So I was very lucky to kind of, you know, go out there, being born and raised in a blue collar town in Buffalo, and being able to go over there to see how different, you know, man, it's just anybody over the age of 40 while I was growing up, you know, you were a lazy pothead stoner, you know what I mean? That was never going to accomplish anything. And then getting out to California, and most of the uber successful people that I knew out there all use cannabis. So it was, you know, it was a seismic shift, man. And just kind of my perception of the industry and how it was viewed. So I obviously understood the opportunity was there. And then, as you know, all of the legislation was being talking about being passed and, you know, getting rescheduled and reclassified at the FDA. I mean, obviously, as you are well aware, a little difficult still on the banking front.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I knew that there was going to be a giant opportunity there. And then second part of that is, listen, we know cannabis makes people feel better, right? I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You literally look, I mean, at any state that has passed, you know, rates of everything, right? I mean, insomnia, depression, you know, social anxiety disorder. It just seems like that helps alleviate a lot of issues for a lot of different people. And anything that helps somebody, I don't think that there should be any type of regulatory framework, as long as it's not hurting other people, to stop people from using that product. So
I'm totally with you there. So Cody, from, you know, just from an investment perspective, you know, you and I are kind of in a whole bunch of deals together, but, you know, from your vantage point, like, what are some of the deals you're most excited about, or deals that you're kind of like, I love this business. I can't wait to see this business scale. It's needed. I know you have a lot of investments out there, but any that really kind of stand out that you maybe want to talk about?
Oh man, there's
I know there's a lot.
Dude, there's so many. I obviously, as you are well aware, I don't like to generally invest in companies that I don't believe in, not only the company, but also the team leading it.
Yeah.
It's a difficult thing, man. Obviously Philo is one of my favorite portfolio company investments.
Of course.
Man.
Come on. I mean, aside from Philo, I'm sure gonna say that. I'm like, you can say it just to satiate me.
Yeah, well, no, listen, I you're talking about something, you know, we're talking about the cannabis industry, man. What is the one thing that's lacking in cannabis? It's compliance, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's the biggest, it's the biggest hurdle for a lot of the people is they don't, again, gets back to that black market conversation. And Philo is really one of the main drivers that can kind of regulate an industry that has generally never been regulated. So, even though we're on the Philo podcast, just, you know, shout out Philo is one of my favorite investments.
I appreciate that, Cody.
Yeah. You know, one for the culture, dude, obviously Tyson 2.0.
Yeah.
I obviously have been very privileged to spend a good deal of time with Mike and Chad and just Adam, just the whole crew, man. And you look at investing in companies that really know how to treat their employees, relationships with their partners, suppliers, customers. I do. Tyson fills all of those things that you're looking for in investment, right?
Yeah.
It's
by the way, Cody, you know, it's so amazing. I think, you know, obviously I'm an investor in Tyson too, but you know, just watching Mike out there with everybody and like, watching how the people just interact with him and they love him so much, you know, it's just like, it's a really nice thing to see where you have somebody who is such a legend, and obviously they're still a legend, but the fact that they have another inning, right? They've reinvented themselves in a different way, in a different capacity. And it's just always nice because he really enjoys it, you know, and it's like, he kind of thrives on the energy of the people, right? And that's so great to see. And then obviously, you know, added with, you know, with Ric Flair now as well, it's just like same type of passion, right? People love them.
You know, I've been very privileged, I think, as you have as well, to be around some very famous and successful people. Mike is probably out of every athlete, entertainer, just business person, he is maybe the most friendly person with people. Like, dude, I'll never forget that time we were all in Vegas together and just walking through the hotel. What was it? 2 minutes from the front door to the entrance of that restaurant, dude. And he spent 35 minutes taking photos, signing autographs. Like, you're right, man. He feeds on it. It's just, and he loves it too, man. He's not, you know, you're never going to see that guy in a pair of Louis loafers and, you know what I mean? Dude, he's in a t-shirt.
I don't know about that. You know, he's spending a lot of time with Chad.
Yeah, it's a good point. Fair enough.
He's one of Chad's favorite brands. So I'm surprised if we see, Big Mike decked out from head to toe at some point in time, right? Let's not put it past him.
I don't think I've ever seen the guy in anything other than a pair of Nikes,
shorts, and a t-shirt.
Yeah, dude, he's just short shorts. Yeah, man, he's a man of the people. And I also think obviously him making all the money he made in his career, I think he had all that nice stuff, and I think just a generation of that, I think he realized, you know, just didn't make him any different of a human being than he is today.
Totally. What are you excited about? Like, what, you know, as you're kind of looking down the horizon, obviously the industry has changed. It's kind of morphing every single day, every single month, every single year. You know, you and I obviously have known each other now for about 3 years. The market was really different pre-COVID to what it is today. And, you know, I think from at least in the US, from United States of America standpoint, like, we have really made a very niche focused industry into massive and mainstream, right? And I think even the, not just cannabis, right? I feel like cannabis was obviously the instigator, but even when you look at, you know, things like psilocybin, right? Psilocybin, at least from my perspective, has literally taken a much faster turn around stigma than cannabis, there's something about it. I don't know what or why, because it's still very, you're talking, you know, plant-based medicine, right? But people that I know that are kind of just say no to drugs, just say yes to psilocybin, you know? So it's like, it is kind of an interesting tale of two different plants, if you will, or, you know, one plant, one fungus. But I feel like that, at least from a wellness and medicine perspective, is taking a such, it's such greater rapid acceleration into mainstream that I would have never anticipated. Because it's been around, right? It's not, this is not a new thing. I feel like everybody I know and their mother is on a microdose of psilocybin in some capacity. It's pretty crazy.
It's, I'm glad you actually brought that up. I have such a hard time just separating the two industries because, you know, I really always saw it. It's different, right? The cannabis market, their Trojan horse there was really the medical market, right? Where the recreation was really what the cannabis industry is. And I really believe deep down that the psilocybin market is just, while it's more recreational focused, I think for a lot of people right now that are using it, you know, whether it's going to concerts, festivals, camping, or, you know, even microdosing on a daily basis, I really think it's the exact opposite. I think that the recreation side is going to be the Trojan horse to the medical side. And listen, obviously the media has been a tremendous, I mean, that's Forbes, the Washington Post, CBS. Yeah.
Media loves it. They love it.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, and it's everywhere. I mean, The Guardian in the UK. There's literally, I feel like every time I go somewhere now or to one of these conferences, I'm meeting people from pharmaceutical companies that are interested and all these different mental health practitioners. It's just, there are so many. Obviously, listen, the data is still extremely early from a clinical perspective as far as getting a drug that's FDA approved. But I think that we all know enough people that have been helped by this where it's safe to say that this works, man. It makes people feel better. And in a world where mental health is literally all that's being talked about right now, I think if we have an opportunity, you know, I mean, dude, the SSRI market has been around for what, 30 years? I mean, safe to say that that's, for some people, it's working. I think for a majority of them, it's probably not anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I was listening to a podcast a couple weeks ago, and to more than 50% of the U.S. population will be diagnosed with some form of mental illness or disorder at some point in their lifetime.
Wow.
Dude, think That's about how 330 million people in the United States, think about what type of number that is of people.
That's a lot.
Yeah, man. It's really, you know, so listen, even if it can help 1% of those people, you know, I think it's safe to say what we're doing and, you know, being able to invest some dollars into that side. You know, you and I always talk, I hate using that cheesy ESG word, but, you know, if there's ever been an industry that is more environmental, social, you know, sustainable, I really, truly believe it is probably this industry. And like I said, I don't like using the word psychedelic just because, you know, I've come to find that there's just a whole group of people that you're never going to be able to tell them any different. So
I think that's a really good point, right? Because I actually never thought about the term until you just said that, because, you know, when I have a lot of people that talk to me and they're like, oh, you're in the marijuana business. And I'm like, I'm in the cannabis business. They don't get that either, because I think cannabis seems more scientific or, you know, friendlier than, you know, marijuana. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think with psychedelics too, it's just like, you know, for people who are also microdosing for therapeutic purposes, whether it's for depression or, you know, to be in a better mood or even recreationally, you're not getting any psychedelic effects from it. You're just getting a nice little bump of energy and, you know, feeling good. And so I'm with you, and I feel like I almost want to like not say psychedelics because it actually is the wrong type of term unless you're doing like a macro dose. Like, it's not psychedelics, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
And yeah, it's just, I really think that, I mean, listen, man, the government did a great job of making both cannabis and psychedelics a very taboo word, right? I mean, we know for a fact, psychedelics have been used for hundreds, if not thousands of years, pretty much through every culture in history. There's obviously a rhyme or reason behind that. So it's just now figuring out in a clinically validated way exactly the best way to go about using these. And I think it's going to be different for everybody, right?
Yeah. No, for sure. You know what? I think I love doing this show just because, you know, I'm always learning new things, right? I'm always learning from people. And I'm glad that you said that because I really did never think about that. So Cody, it's September. We're kind of moving into the end of the year, which means we're kind of approaching what usually comes MJ Biz. Are you going?
Of course, like, buddy. You there? I'm always, always there. I don't miss an MJ Biz. Yeah, of course. I'll be there. I'll be at the Wonderland Conference in Miami.
I think we were at, I got a memory actually the other day, on Facebook or Instagram of Miami this week last year, which I think we were doing a session with Daniel at Soho House. I think it was that week.
I think it was.
By the way, it seems like yesterday, but it was a year ago.
Dude, I know, man. COVID years.
COVID years. I sometimes have to stop and I'm like, I'm on a call with someone. I go, wait, what year is it right now?
Yeah.
Right, because it's really, the last 3 years is a total blur.
Yeah, no. It's
a total blur.
Dude, months feel like days and years feel like months. It's really, really strange.
Yeah. Well, listen, Cody, I'm glad that you came on the show. I'm glad we were able to make this work. Always love talking to you. You're a great partner. You're doing great stuff in the industry. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you in person very soon. So I appreciate you coming on the show. And yeah, it's been great and enlightening.
I appreciate you having me, my brother. Give Chad a big hug for me when you see him.
I will. I'll give him a nice big bear hug for you.
Yeah, he deserves them.
All right, dude. I will see you, and thank you for coming on. Cody Chandra, managing partner, Ambria Capital, and Final Partners. Dual partners.
Yeah, the love best it. Kind.
Keep up the good work, bro.
Thanks, buddy.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.